WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
All right, 208, welcome back to our program. Appreciate you being here today. And yeah, we're starting to see some of that smoke filter back in. It's not quite as bad as it was yesterday, obviously. That was about as bad as I've seen it ever when we've had wildfire smoke. But, you know, the Attorney General, Andrea Campbell, actually went on Facebook yesterday and blamed President Trump for the smoke. I guess when you don't have a record, you just come out with these ridiculous things and blame everybody else for your own shortcomings. With me on the line right now is Republican candidate for governor, Brian Shortsleeve. Brian, how are you? Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Barry. It's great to be on with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And so you've got a debate scheduled tonight with your Republican opponent, Mike Minogue in Taunton at the Cable Access. I guess it's going to be streamed all over the place so people can watch it. You're looking forward to seeing Mike Minogue tonight?
I hope so. Look, what is more American of a tradition than debates? You know, when we have elections, we have debates. And by the way, 90% of Republican primary voters in Massachusetts want debates in this primary. They want to hear from us. They want to hear our ideas. So, Barry, I hope Mike Minogue shows up. I hope he doesn't hide out in the basement like Joe Biden. But either way, I will be there, and I'm looking forward to meeting you and talking and taking everyone's questions. I think any candidate for public office ought to be able to stand up, take questions, and pitch people on their vision for the state.
Well, you know, I was talking to some of the folks earlier, and I think if Minogue doesn't show up, and I think it's fairly certain at this point that he's not going to be there, maybe we'll just do like a little town hall kind of thing and involve the audience. Get, let the people ask some questions, and maybe the group of us can just have a conversation about some of the issues today and get a sense of where we're at and what people are thinking about.
Well, that sounds good. Look, I've traveled all over the state. I am an open book, Barry. I have been in public life before. I'll answer anyone's question anytime. In my view, debates aren't optional, though. These are the tests that good candidates have to pass. They help vet candidates. They help prevent surprises. Our Republican primary voters in Massachusetts do not want to wake up the morning after the primary with a candidate who has refused to debate and may not be prepared for Maura Healey. So however it goes tonight, I can't wait to be there. I'm looking forward to giving you my vision for how to get this state moving again, how to supercharge our economy, how to get started on the audit, which 72% of us voted for, and frankly, how to run the state in a more transparent way. I mean, the latest scandal we're seeing with Maura Healey on the Springfield courthouse, I think is just outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, here we have a, another one of these scandals, and they just seem to be endless. We have a new courthouse being built in Springfield. It's being done by private people at a cost of about $600 million to the taxpayers. We will not own this building. This will be leased back to us for a total of about $2 billion over 40 to 60 years, however long the contract is negotiated. And this was a bid that was put out and almost immediately awarded to some insiders. So the husband of Representative Anna Pressley and also another guy who is the very, very well connected. I mean, we're talking about John Barrows, who is at the moment the interim executive director of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. I mean, these are connected people. And they get a contract for $2 billion, well, $600 million to build it, and then $2 billion after that in rent payments. And you know, a couple of the folks that were denied, their bids were denied, are suing. They're saying this was a rigged deal. I mean, we're just getting too used to this stuff in Massachusetts.
You know, Barry, they should sue. This is another example of Springfield being sold out by political insiders on Beacon Hill. As you mentioned, the last time we saw this was the MassPike Service Plaza contract, which was a scam. It was an inside deal. So we've seen it before. It's a massive contract that Healey is awarding to political insiders. Complete lack of transparency. There are conflicts of interest here, which were not disclosed one of the largest being that the head of the Convention Center Authority is part of the winning bidder group. The second part of that group is Ayanna Pressley's husband. And I think it's a complete slap in the face to taxpayers, Barry. By the way, you don't have to take my word for it. You can ask the Democrat mayor of Springfield, Mayor Sarno. I mean, he was outraged largely because they had a good plan in Springfield with local developers. They were going to do four related developments that would have helped Springfield, driven tax revenue. But they didn't do that. They completely ignored local preferences, and they sold out the city to power brokers in Boston. When I am Governor Barry and Sean Oliver is Lieutenant Governor, the interests of places like Bristol County, Western Mass, Central Massachusetts will be first in our mind. We will not sell out to the Boston power brokers the way Maura Healey just continues to every chance she gets.
Well, you know what, Tim Dunn, political reporter for the Boston Herald, chased the governor down yesterday and asked her about this contract because the Mass Fiscal Alliance called on Healey to rescind the deal and to denounce it. You know, these things happen. So, you know, show some leadership, step up and say, hey, yeah, this has all of the earmarks of a bad deal. We're going to rescind it. We're going to rebid it or whatever. And she refused to do that. She said the people of Springfield deserved that. This was a competitive procurement process. It was a competitive bid. And the project that was chosen was the one that cost the taxpayers the least. Because, you know, Maura Healey says, I stand up for taxpayers. I'm all about supporting whatever is going to cost the taxpayers the least amount of money as somebody who wants to protect taxpayer dollars. Now, first of all, the governor is defending this. And second of all, I didn't know she had a stand-up comedy routine.
Barry, it's laughable. I mean, I listened to her yesterday, and it's just outrageous. She said she has no ethics concern with this set of bidders.
Well, she's got no ethics. That's why.
It's unbelievable, despite the fact that two of the key players in this bid are complete political insiders. And let's get back to responding to the needs of local communities. In this case, the city of Springfield had a development team. They had a location picked out. We should be responsive to those local concerns. She basically ran a sham process here that resulted in, you know, a couple of the big wheels from Boston getting what sounds like it's a $2 billion deal. And as we learned in the Mass Pike Service Plaza contract through the lawsuit, we learned that in that particular case, almost every rule in the procurement rule book was violated. And I imagine in this case, we're going to find the same thing, that the rules were not followed. There's big conflicts of interest here that were not disclosed before the decision was made. So when I am governor, we will run a transparent government. We'll make sure that contracts like this are bid out. We'll listen to local communities, and we'll make sure those voices are heard instead of just continuing to give massive contracts to political insiders, which Healey seems to be doing on a monthly basis now.
You know, and it's sad, and I know you're not running against Ayanna Pressley, but, you know, we've begun to learn over the last couple of years about these politicians that are making huge amounts of money, and you're wondering where they're coming from. And we look up in, what's going on in Minnesota and some of these folks in California. The case of Ilhan Omar comes to mind, how all of a sudden they become multimillionaires. AOC, another one, a multimillionaire now in Congress, even Bernie Sanders. But, you know, so Tim's reporting in the Herald today, Pressley's net worth has exploded from an estimated $12,500 during her time as a Boston City Councilor in 2018 to a whopping $8 million in 2024, and obviously she receives a congressional salary of $174,000. And people are starting to see this stuff, and they're starting to wonder, you know, what exactly is going on, and how did I miss out on these opportunities? Why am I never in the right place to get these kind of contracts and, these bids and so on and so forth?
And how does someone making $174,000 a year for 6 years have a net worth that goes effectively from zero to $8 million, Barry? It's insider dealing. And these contracts that Healey continues to award are a complete scam. And Maura Healey should be held accountable. She's run the least transparent administration in history. By the way, it goes all the way back to the contracts she was handing out when she was spending billions of taxpayer dollars on the shelters for the illegal immigrants back in 23 and 24.
And those were no bid contracts, Brian. She was doing the food contracts, no bid.
No bid contracts, millions of dollars, complete insider deals. You remember the Mercedes cab transportation contract in which they were paying $140 a ride in some case to move migrants 233 feet from one side of a parking lot to the other. They paid $277,000 in late fees to that politically connected black car company for a contract that had no stipulation for late fees. Auditor DiSoglio did a scathing audit on the Mercedes cab contract, but it's endless. We go from that to the Masspike Service Plaza contract, and now this week, a $2 billion deal in Springfield goes to a bunch of Boston guys. It should be in Springfield with developers that are in that part of the area that can deliver for what the mayor of Springfield wants. And I think it's just outrageous. But this is why we need change, Barry. This is why we have elections. We need new leadership. We need a new governor that will run this state with integrity, with transparency, and just end the insider dealing.
Yeah, we got to open the windows in the state house. No question about that. So this governor seems to find time to get involved in everybody else's business. She's talking about what's going on in Maine yesterday and the shooting that involved an ICE agent in Maine. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, maybe. And so for the first time ever in the campaign that I'm aware of, she mentioned you by name in her response to that. And she said, and I quote, "And that's what Mike Minogue and Brian Shortsleeve need to know, that they are running against me right now, okay? And as I said, they are pro-ICE. They support ICE's tactics. They support President Trump, and they're not standing up for families and communities." And she also said that if you don't stand against ICE and if you don't stand against Donald Trump, then you can't be and should not be governor of Massachusetts. What do you make of that?
Well, let me tell you who's not standing up for families and not standing up for communities. It's Maura Healey. She has been an advocate of sanctuary state policies since she was attorney general. She has made our streets less safe. Her parole board, Barry, every other Friday is releasing convicted criminals onto the streets who should be locked up for good. It was about a month ago when there was an individual up in Cambridge out on Memorial Drive who had an assault rifle, got 50 rounds off. Thank God he didn't kill anybody. There was a retired or former Marine with a license to carry who was able to take him down. But that guy should be in jail. That was a guy that had fired on Boston police officers 5 years ago. Prosecutors wanted him to be in jail for 10 years. They gave him 5 years, and Healey's parole board let him out at the four-year mark, and he nearly killed 20 people. Those are Maura Healey's policies. She's soft on crime. She's releasing convicted killers into the streets. And her refusal to cooperate with federal authorities to deport convicted criminals is making our streets less safe. So she has a lot to be worried about with Brian Shortsleeve and Mike Minogue.
Let me ask you about something that's it's a local issue. It's a local story, but I think it really is. I think a lot of people in the state can identify with this, and maybe all over the country. You have something called the Wailing City Festival here in New Bedford. It's been going on for many, many years. And it happens in an open park, Buttonwood Park, one of the city's beautiful, spacious, wide open parks. And on Saturday night during the festival, there were three stabbings just outside of the festival ground, young kids. And now there's going to be changes to the festival. They got to reduce the hours and probably going to move it from the location to try to find another location. The unfortunate thing about this is we're seeing, we are losing more and more quality of life issues because of soft on crime policies, because of judges that let kids out, and the kids don't fear their parents anymore. They don't fear the police. They don't fear the judges walking around with knives at events like this, stabbing each other, so on and so forth. And the people that really lose with stuff like this are families who are working poor or maybe just don't have the money to put their kids on a plane and take them to Disney World. They can't drive them out to Six Flags down in Agawam, but they count on these little festivals each year to take their kids out and have something to do, get some cotton candy or whatever. And now they're going to suffer because they're going to lose out because of this this crime wave and this acceptance of crime and the judges that just let these people out of out of jail with zero bail and so on and so forth. What can we do about this?
Well, you need new leadership, Barry, at the state level. You also need new sheriffs. I mean, you've got a sheriff down there in Bristol County and Paul Heroux that refuses to honor ICE detainers, even for convicted criminals. Just in the last 2 weeks, we've seen him repeatedly refuse to turn over an individual who was charged with possession of large capacity firearms, resisting arrest. Sheriff won't cooperate. And I think that sort of soft on crime position from sheriffs and governors is one of the things that is driving people out of Massachusetts. I was up in the South End in Boston meeting with young families 2 weeks ago. And these are families that might have two or three children age 1 to 5. They're trying to make it work in the city. And there was a shooting right in one of those South End parks on a beautiful night at 7 o'clock in the evening. I met with the families afterwards. They're scared. And they feel that under Mayor Wu, the police have pulled back. They're not patrolling the streets. They're not aggressive enough. Frankly, they're prioritizing the rights of criminals over the rights of families and small businesses to be safe. So you need a governor and a mayor and sheriffs that put security and law enforcement first and are committed to cleaning up the streets. That's what it's going to take, because under Maura Healey, what we've seen, whether it is her state parole board or whether it is her continued support for sanctuary state policies, she is making this state less safe and is driving people out of our cities.
Well, you know, you mentioned Sheriff Heroux. We refer to him as Deputy Dog around here. I don't know if you remember the old cartoon Deputy Dog. You may not be as old as I am, but, you know, that was Maura Healey's handpicked replacement for Tom Hodgson, who she falsified a whole investigation about to try to get rid of him, and it was successful. She tag-teamed with Mayorkas, and they worked to get Tom Hodgson out of there. But so Deputy Dog claims that he was only following the law, that he wasn't allowed to, by law, notify ICE. But that's not true. He was able to legally call ICE and let them know that this guy had been released. So it's a false argument out there. And then he turns around and says ICE is amateur hour.
It's completely false. ICE detainers are a request to a local or state law enforcement agency to hold an individual for up to 48 hours. He absolutely could have held this individual. He didn't. He released, I believe the guy's name was Alvardo, he released him without honoring the ICE detainer. By the way, in the city of Boston, Mayor Wu last year celebrated over 100 ICE detainers for convicted criminals that the city of Boston, under her direction, the police, did not honor. That does not make us safer, Barry. It makes us less safe. It makes our street less safe. When I am governor, we will cooperate with the federal government. And one of the reasons why you don't see ICE raids in a lot of red states like Florida is in those places you've got governors that cooperate with federal authorities, and you catch these bad guys at the jailhouse door or the courthouse door because many of them are in our system already, and that's when you want to pick them up and you want to move them out. But I think you've got a huge problem. Starts with Healey. It includes Wu. It includes your sheriff, Heroux, in Bristol County. And we got to get back to basics in this state about understanding that keeping the public safe is our number one goal. And if we don't do that, particularly in urban areas, places like Boston, New Bedford, you're going to see families exit the city. And there's no reason for that to happen. We know how to solve these problems.
Yeah. How much of this is the judges that get appointed ultimately by the politicians, right? The governor's council makes recommendations on judges, go to the governor. The governor approves these judges, appoints the judges. And, I mean, these are all people that went to the same liberal progressive schools together, and they're advocating.
Well, you know, soft on crime judges is a huge problem in Massachusetts, and it's getting worse. The individual up on Memorial Drive that I talked about earlier that got 40 rounds off, a deranged individual. In that particular case, there was a judge that gave him a sentence that was far less than prosecutors had recommended. And I believe what I read is that that judge at the time said, well, she was going to roll the dice and hope that when she let him out at the five-year mark, he would be a better person than he had been on his way in. This is a guy that was put in jail for firing 10 rounds at Boston police officers. It should not be up to these judges to, quote, roll the dice with our safety. The reality is, in case after case, you find judges giving lenient sentences. Another example in Boston that we saw in the fall was the two guys that burned down a police car and could have killed two Boston police officers were released on $500 bail. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. The prosecutors in that case wanted $37,000 of bail. So when I'm governor, we will appoint judges who are tough on crime. We will end cashless bail. There's a lot of things that a governor can do to drive public safety, but it starts with those things. Because right now, if you've got judges that will not enforce the law, and if you've got things like cashless bail that springs criminals, the day of their arrest, you're just making the streets less safe.
Absolutely. Brian Shortsleeve, Republican candidate for governor. We're all holding out hope that Mike Minogue may show for the debate tonight, and we can have a real discussion on the issues. But I look forward to seeing you in Taunton in a few hours, and thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon.
I'll see you soon, Barry. And for those of your followers that want to check me out, BrianShortsleeve.com is my website. Brian Shortsleeve from Massachusetts on Facebook. And don't forget to vote in the Republican primary September 1st. It's coming up.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Barry.
All right. Brian Shortsleeve, Republican candidate for governor. And there is a debate tonight scheduled in Taunton. Now, we don't know at this point whether Minogue is going to show. There's been some talk that he will not be there. And, I mean, obviously, I think most of us are expecting that he won't be there. He hasn't done a debate yet. But in any event, I'll have a full report on it tomorrow. I got to get a break in. 508-996-0500 is our number, so don't go far. But let me tell you, if you have been working your entire life and stuffing all your money away for your retirement and everything else, have you ever thought about if you've saved enough money that will last as long as you do? People are living long lives these days, right? You want to make sure you get enough money to last as long as you do. At USA Wealth Advisors, they offer a powerful planning tool called the Retirement Analyzer, designed to help answer some of the biggest questions that retirees face. Like, do I have enough money to last the rest of my life? How much can I leave to my family, and what taxes could impact that legacy? What could long-term care costs mean for my retirement savings? Would Roth conversions help reduce future taxes? Do I have the right amount of life insurance protection? Retirement Analyzer. It provides a personalized look at your retirement picture, helping you identify opportunities and potential risks before they become costly mistakes. If you are approaching retirement age, or maybe you have already done so, this is a conversation you don't want to put off any longer. Schedule your complimentary Retirement Analyzer review with USA Wealth Advisors today. Gain greater confidence in your retirement future. USA Wealth Advisors, located at 352 Fons Corner Road in Dartmouth. Give them a call, 508-998-8800. And please tell them that Barry sent you, won't you?
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All righty. Welcome back to the program. There was a guy that just walked by my studio with a Cheetos hooded sweatshirt on. First of all, it's kind of warm for a hooded sweatshirt, but I mean, it was literally a whole Cheetos ad on both sides. It was like, wow. I don't think I've ever seen it. It was like a Cheetos bag walking past my window. Makes me hungry. It's almost that time, right? Yeah. All right, 508-996-0500. Talking about crime with Brian Shortsleeve just a few moments ago and how people are not being held accountable and so on and so forth. Listen to this. This is a story that I had in my big stack of stuff here. This is from Mass Daily News. And it says a 59-year-old Boston man walked out of East Boston Municipal Court on personal recognizance last week after prosecutors say he flew into a rage inside of the Maverick Square Burger King, grabbed a female employee by the arm, and ambushed a customer from behind, punching him three times in the face. And this lunatic was released on personal recognizance. Patrick Donovan is now facing six counts, including assault and battery, causing injury on a person over 60 or disabled, plain assault and battery, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, assault, and vandalism, according to the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. Judge Deborah Delvecchio released him on personal recognizance, zero bail, with conditions ordering him to stay away from both Maverick Square and the Burger King. He's due back in court August 7th for a pretrial hearing. According to prosecutors, Donovan walked into the Burger King at 1 Maverick Square at about 9:49 at night, Tuesday night, June 30th, and began yelling about unwanted food. When a female employee tried to defuse the situation, Donovan allegedly lunged at her and grabbed her by the arm. The prosecutors say he turned on another customer, a man in the restaurant, and shoved him from behind. When the customer turned around, Donovan allegedly punched him three times in the face, leaving visible lacerations across his forehead. The customer declined EMS treatment at the scene. Donovan resisted when officers arrived to arrest him. Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden framed the case as a working people and consumers first prosecution. I'm not sure what the hell that means, but working people and consumers first prosecution. Our workers deserve to be safe in their workplace, and our customers deserve to be safe in their shopping or dining places without exemption, or without exception, Hayden said. Whether Judge Delvecchio's decision to release Donovan without bail on six charges, including one enhanced count for the alleged victim's age or disabled status, squares with that principle is a totally separate question. I mean, this is the problem, man. I mean, this is where we're at in society. Two rounds struck the cruiser windshield in Dorchester. Police have cruiser windshield, two Boston cops nearly killed. Neither officer was hit, and the suspect was taken into custody without a return shot from police officers. Two Boston police officers came within a windshield of being killed on Wednesday night. That's last night, when a gunman opened fire on their cruiser during a Blue Hill Avenue traffic stop, according to police and the officers' union. This is being reported by Mass Daily News. The officers had pulled over a driver in the area of Normandy Street and Blue Hill Avenue in Dorchester at about 9:12 last night when the suspect opened fire, a Boston police spokesperson said. The rounds struck the police cruiser windshield. Neither officer was hit. The officers did not return fire. The suspect was placed into custody a short time later. The Boston Police Patrolmen's Association posted about the incident on X several hours later. Boston police say a firearm and ballistic evidence were recovered at the scene. The department did not immediately say whether the driver the officers had pulled over was also the shooter, or whether the gunman was a separate person who came out of the surroundings during the stop. The investigation remains active. Wednesday's cop shooter incident is the latest violent scene on Blue Hill Avenue in a summer that has already delivered a single night with 13 people shot on the same corridor. Boston homicide detective worked another Dorchester killing earlier the same day. A man was shot and killed just before noon on York Street in the space of one 12-hour stretch on Wednesday. Police went from a broad daylight homicide to a nighttime cop shooter incident on the same avenue that has now become shorthand for the city's summer of gunfire. In the safest big city in the country, Boston, right? According to Mushell. Mushell, woo! 508-996-0500, you're next to WBSM.
Hey, how you doing, Barry?
Good, how are you?
So they're the guy that assaulted the people at the Burger King, they're basically trying to call it some sort of new assault, like a, defending workers and consumers. It's just pretty much basically assault. The guy turned around and pounded somebody. That there's one word for it. There's a good description in it in the dictionary. I'm sure in the law books, too. It's just plain assault. So, and, you know, the fact they didn't do a dangerousness hearing on the guy just said, you know, don't go back to the Burger King and stay away from that region of the city. And then have a nice day. We'll see you if you decide to show up.
Yeah, on August 7th, I mean, if you come. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, to me, it's you know, again, between trying to kill off law enforcement by defunding the police and then these hyper-liberal judges that have decided that, you know, anyone that does a crime is only acting out because they had a horrible childhood, and that we need to put that into the equation when we're deciding on things like bail or you know, if they get convicted of a crime, you know, what the sentence is going to be. That's not normal. I mean, that because the judge doesn't know what this person's childhood was. So the judge is making an assumption and making that part of the rubric to actually make these decisions, when that should never be the case, because that judge doesn't know what that person, you know. You can see that, say that someone like this might have been abused as a child. That's horrible, okay? But if the person has a rap sheet, then they haven't gotten mental, you know, they haven't, A, corrected their pattern of violence, and B, you know, they haven't gotten, you know, state-sponsored or sponsored recovery from that. So the whole thing is really stupid, and we really need to have a law that basically says if a judge uses, like, a person's history or their ethnic background or their a potential of being a slave, let's say, or the family or whatever, that none of that matters, because the judge is not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So you can't use any of that. That should be immediately erased, or the judge should be disbarred or taken out of commission.
Well, again, it's a case of these judges that, you know, they all went to the same liberal schools as the politicians that appoint them, and they are legislating from the bench, and they are putting, you know, psychology or whatever ahead of the law, and that puts everything else ahead of the victim. And, you know, imagine being in a restaurant, minding your own business and being punched three times in the face, or being an employee there and somebody comes in and grabs you by the arm or whatever. I mean, that's traumatizing. And
yeah, I mean, and if it's for, you know, a lot of times you're supposed to have they didn't say in that there was an order for that person to stay away from the victim. It's just to stay away from McDonald's or Burger King. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They didn't assault Burger King. So, you know, one other thing, you had a caller that's a regular caller talk about the fact that with this Wailing City Festival that, you know, the cops really need to beat these kids down. You know, I want to remind him that, you know, that is not a good idea. It may sound like really, you know, nice if you're in your own home thinking about it, like, yeah, let's beat the kids down and teach them a lesson. No, I mean, that's what started the Reginald Denny thing in 1993. That's what started this whole thing with George Floyd. We don't need to, you know, to extend violence and punishment on somebody that is being arrested. I mean,
well, yeah, the police are not the judge and the jury, and should not begin to act as that. Otherwise, they'd be no different than the SS or the, you know, any of the secret police groups. But, you know, a response like that is interesting, because it shows the level of frustration that many folks in society have reached at this point. That we live in a very unsafe society, and we live in a society where people like this can walk the streets for free. They go into a courtroom situation and they're released with no bail, and there's no fear. They're not having the supervision at home. The parents are not being held responsible for them to get into the system. The system, I mean, the police do what they're supposed to do. They arrest these people. They bring them to the system. The system puts them out back on the streets again. So there's no fear, and it spreads and it grows. And this is the situation. A lot of folks are really frustrated with that.
I get it. I mean, I think that, you know, they should change the concealed carry laws in Massachusetts so you don't have to be afraid of that. Someone attacks you with a knife. Someone, you and your wife are out for a walk in the evening and someone decides to attack you with a knife. You should be able to take them down. I mean, you should be able to make equal force, but the law doesn't provide for that in Massachusetts. But it should be, you know, it's not opening up the wild, wild west. But it's you have the right to be protected, and you should be able to protect yourself and your wife. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the way to look at it would be as the previous caller thinks that the police should be doing that. I frankly think that if you had people that were allowed to have concealed carry, then that would change the dynamic, you know, overnight. I mean, do you remember the stabbing that happened in the Silver City Mall up in Taunton about 8 years ago?
Yes.
The guy that ran around a neighborhood. He ran into a house in Freetown, I think, and stole somebody's knife and killed the woman that owned the home. And then he got back in his car and he went to the mall, went into he was running around trying to stab people. He went into the Bertucci's, and he stabbed the girl that was, you know, working at the front desk. I don't know if she survived, but he was taken down by a cop that, you know, was not on duty but had his concealed carry weapon, gave the guy a minute or a second to, like, hey, stop what you're doing, and then he took him down. And
well, there was a customer. Yeah, there was a customer and his wife at the bar who tried to stop him, and he wound up paying the price. He gave his life was lost by trying to stop as he was stabbing the girl. Now, it's out of control. It is definitely out of control. Something needs to be done, and it needs to be addressed. And I think a lot of it needs to start with parents, and I think a lot of it has to start with the judges that are being appointed, and we have to get politics out of appointing judges, too. Thanks, Steve. I got to hold you right there. Got to get a break, and we're coming right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care. Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All righty, welcome back into the program. It is a Thursday afternoon, and it's a bit hazy. Again, we've got some smoke out there, but it's not as bad as yesterday. That's certainly a good thing. I did see some indication that we could see more of it over the weekend, but you never can tell. It's all on where the wind blows and so on and so forth. So, to my knowledge, there is no health alert in effect right now. There is a ban on outside water use right now in the city of New Bedford, and that just went into effect today because we are in stage 2 drought conditions. City Hall says, don't worry, our drinking supply is right up where it should be, but this is a precautionary measure because we are now in a stage 2 drought. So what are you going to do, right? You're running out of water. Well, not really, but, you know, you can't water your lawn. You got smoke in the air. I got a great idea. Why don't you go to Riccardi's Restaurant? That'll make you feel better. It always makes me feel better. Riccardi's Restaurant, 2 great locations. One on Hathaway Road, right near my house, and one here in Fairhaven on the Neck, right next to where I work. How convenient is this? 2 Riccardi's. What locations? Right next to where I spend most of my time. This is fabulous. If you're looking for a great Italian restaurant, you want to go to Riccardi's Fairhaven, New Bedford, where delicious Italian favorites and family recipes have been bringing people together for many years now. From their famous baked lasagna and lobster fettuccine to thin crust pizza, hearty grinders, and fresh seafood specials. There's something for everybody. Dine in, take out, or make it a family night at Riccardi's in Fairhaven and New Bedford. Great food, generous portions, and that classic Italian restaurant feeling that you have been craving. Visit Riccardi's today. And don't forget, they have family size and party size platters conveniently packed and ready to serve for you to pick up for your backyard party or whatever event that you got going on. It is a tradition. By the way, the Fairhaven location, can you believe just a couple of weeks from now is going to celebrate its 20th anniversary? Yikes. And the location in New Bedford, 53 years old. And they haven't been around that long because they're lousy. They've been around that long because they're good. You see restaurants come and go in no time. You see, gee, they just opened and closed already. Yeah, because they stunk. Riccardi's has been around for a long time because they're really good and they're dependable. The prices are family friendly. And the food portions are just absolutely amazing. You will be taking food home from Riccardi's. Ricardi's Restaurant. Please tell the folks at Ricardi's New Bedford and Fairhaven that your good pal Barry sent you over there. Why don't you do that? All right, quick break. We're coming right back. Stay tuned. Late. All righty. Welcome back out of the program. And it's going to be an interesting night tonight. Again, we've got the debate out in Taunton. I'm going to be moderating that between the Republican candidates for governor. It's going to be on local access in Taunton. And you can, I believe, stream it. I think Holly said you can stream it from the website, local access in Taunton. Also tonight, President Trump is going to deliver a speech at 9 o'clock. And the White House says you need to watch this. It has to do with election integrity. So that ought to be good. Joe Jesus 50s night downtown tonight. And that is always a huge draw. And we'll be providing, right after this program is over at 3 o'clock, we will be providing 50s music live for the next 7 hours or so. 7 hours? Maybe 9 hours. I don't remember how much. But and it's going to be great. So if you can't get downtown, you'll still be able to enjoy the great soundtrack from the 50s or put it on in your car while you're driving down there and driving home. If you go down there tonight, yeah, it is 9 hours. If you go down there tonight and you say, oh, I need to hear more 50s music. It just brought me back. I'm lost in the 50s tonight. You can listen to WBSM and we'll have it for you. You can catch it on WBSM, WBSM.com. You can stream it on our app and all that kind of stuff. It's on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. So make sure you stay tuned. Brought to you by some great sponsors like Glass.